to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
If you're drowning and I throw you a life jacket, would you grab it? Yes, good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns.
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return, and I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know that.
That's it. I'm done.
Hello, welcome to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Hallie, Mr. Miller. The four S&P futures down 7, Nasdaq futures down 20, Dow futures down 59. And Frank, how are you?
Very good, thank you.
It was somewhat of a tumultuous 3 days. We were not here on Friday, but all kinds of crazy stuff going on in Washington. Well, $1.50, it's kind of the big news this morning. $65.50 is we appear to be tightening our squeeze on Iran by threatening people who are buying oil from Iran.
Some of whom are allies.
Yeah, I mean, once the oil gets in the system, it's... Can anything be dirtier in the history of the world? Wait a minute, I'll say pharmacy stuff is. than the oil trade? I mean, there's two that are just... I mean, actually, though, if you want economic lessons, again, I mean, I had no idea I was going to talk about this, but of course now it pops into my increasingly eccentric mind, I think. Remember, Frank, the history, or Maddie, the history of the oil with Saddam Hussein? How we had the huge embargo on Saddam Hussein, and then some genius in our government, I forget who the hell was president at the time, doesn't matter, some genius, they decided, okay, even though we had this strict embargo on Saddam, because he was such a bad guy, we decided for humanitarian purposes, we'd let him sell oil, a certain amount of oil, but less than the going rate. Wasn't the going rate like $25 a barrel or some story, Frank, or 40, and said he could only sell it at like 25? There was like a $20 difference between what they supposedly were going to get and what the world price was. Now, if anybody has ever taken economics 100-A, not even 101, you know that if something is worth whatever it's worth, $45, say, somehow somebody's finger is going to get in the pie and it'll make it back close to $45, right? But it's just the way the world is. There'll be a middleman.
It's probably the most fungible commodity there is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could... Oil is probably, in a certain sense, like marijuana. Now, there's a segue. If you go into a... Because we know people in the business. If you go into a medical marijuana place here in Illinois, it is so tracked that if you get whatever you get... there's a chemist that can trace that by DNA back to the plant, and the plant's DNA is registered in the system. So, I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's pretty damn tough to get non-legal growing marijuana into the system. I don't know how often they test or if they do or just the threat of it, but I'm sure that there's chemists that if an oil tanker comes in...
Well, it depends which system you mean, Tom.
Right, but I'm saying if a tanker comes in, there probably are chemists in this world that are pretty damn bright that could test the oil in there and they could tell you exactly where it came from.
I would imagine there's people out there that could take a ladle of it and tell you what it is, smell it and see the consistency of it, and they would know.
They would know which country, because they're all somewhat different.
Within 100 miles, you know. Of course, it's aggregated, but they'd know where it came from.
Yeah, I mean, plus you'd have totally separate refineries for, like, Venezuelan / Canadian oil versus light sweet crude. You can't even run them through the same place, right? Because one's heavy, it needs to be heated the whole way, and I don't know if you want to heat light sweet crude, you'll have to blow the place up, but you know, anyway, I'm not the chemist of the system, but I'm saying is, and then everybody was shocked that wasn't it Saddam's two sons that had their finger in it? They were selling the oil to somebody in France, and they were bouncing it back to Exxon, and the cost in the middle was like $8 a barrel, and it was going to the Swiss bank account of Saddam's two kids or something. But I mean, you should have expected.
Well, you always have to have the middleman or the salesman or the expediter,
the promoter. Yeah,
there's always somebody there.
What do they say in Casablanca? There's always incidental expenses.
Exactly.
I don't know if you remember
Bashish.
That. Yeah, you remember that part, Maddie, where what's his name goes over to what's his name? Who's the Humphrey Bogart goes over to Sidney Greenstreet's place and he says, I'm trying to find out how come all my cases of booze are always like two bottles short. He says, there's always incidental expenses. so anywho, the weekend was a lot of barking back and forth, huh, Frank? And
And everybody's quoting different talking points, which is incredibly aggravating. I mean, it's like nobody has a mind scarred by original thought right now.
I'm gonna lob one out there, and maybe this is a I don't know if it's a I won't say it's the white flag, but maybe an olive branch. I'm going to say that in the investigation, Comey, who Trump didn't like, basically came out and said Hillary was a sleazebag, but I'm not going to indict her in the middle of a campaign. It's totally unprecedented. Basically, I don't want to be in the middle of anything that 6 months now, after a long, disgusting, divisive trial, she could actually be found innocent and that would have cost her the election. I think he pretty much cost the election anyway, but I don't know. It's hard to say. And now here we are 2 years later, and the exact same thing has happened to Trump. Where, and most people, when they saw those two people running, and that was your choice, basically said, how could we have gotten a worse choice? So now, she had a lot of things that if you don't like her, and I don't, would say there was indictable stuff there, and then you looked at how much was actual evidence, whether you thought you could win, and what it would do to the country to listen to that for 6 months during an election. If you came out where she was found not guilty and you cost the election, what would that do to your career? I mean, it just was a circle bleep, basically. And now this report comes out, and we have a guy who does an awful lot of wacky stuff, doesn't look like, either by disorganization or because he just didn't want to, there never was enough really to indict anybody. There's not enough to really impeach anybody. But it's a horrible look at basically what's going on in Washington. So now we have both people that somebody, I'm going to say like me, I never thought that was going to happen, but looking at this 3 years ago, would have said, wow, we got two horrible people here. Now, I think we should probably do the same thing with him and just let it go. No impeachment, no anything. Just hope the electorate.
I think we should do the same thing to him that we did to Blagojevich.
Well, that is
Blagojevich did arguably less.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's another story, because that's where I was.
It's the same story if it's the same story as Clinton.
Well, what I'm saying is they elected.
If we're looking for equivalency.
No, what I'm saying is Clinton was essentially not indicted and it was let off. She never got prosecuted.
Right.
By the stuff that was going on in the foundation, and there was stuff there where you could have. They were getting money from foreign people, really for political reasons. Because how much did they get after she's gone? They closed it, right? Or I don't know if they closed it or not, but they. But the Saudis aren't pouring money in there anymore. I don't think they're that stupid. Why would they? So I'm saying we have two people here.
Here's the big difference between Hillary and Donald. Hillary reported the money. The foundation reported the money that came in. We'll start there. Donald Trump did not report anything. We don't know his income taxes. He was dancing with the Russians.
Yeah, but
yesterday, Rudy Giuliani said, hey, it's not against the law to get information about a political candidate from a foreign country. If they are our enemy,
we have people that are doing stuff.
He gleefully embraced the Russians.
Well, really,
it's not like Hillary gleefully embraced the Libyan rebels.
She gleefully cashed a check.
From the Saudis.
Well, I'm saying.
We don't know what Trump has.
Well,
so you could probably add in, who financed this campaign?
Well, what I'm saying is, I don't want him indicted. I don't want an impeachment process. We know what happened. Let's just make it another 18 months. The only person I really want to read the report is Trump. Let's try and do the best job you can. And you know what? I was reading last week, and in defense of, you know, guys like Kevin who think stuff's still going on, I was reading in the Tribune that the conservation bill that both sides put together is one of the best bills we've had in two decades. It opened up all kinds more federal land for stuff, and in the midst of all his BSing about, you know, he's not going to have this and that, and national parks, apparently this is the most expansive bill we've had in forever. So, I mean, stuff still can happen.
Is it something that can be vetoed?
No, it's already, I think you signed it. It was in a trip like Thursday or Friday.
Okay.
I mean, you know, I'm not positive on that, but I mean, let's just, we don't need 6 months of an impeachment. I don't want to listen to these people for 6 months talking about that, Frank. I really don't. Let's just let it go.
Then he wins.
No, he doesn't.
Quite frankly, then he wins.
I don't think so.
Trump.
I don't think so.
He gets away with whatever behavior. I don't want him to be impeached, but I want the investigation to continue.
Well, I mean,
we went through 8 years of Clinton being investigated.
Well,
President Clinton.
And how did that happen?
I say just keep it up this time. It's the big payback.
Well,
revenge, as James Brown said.
Someday somebody's got to figure out, just like with the North and South in Ireland, did anybody really remember who fired the first shot? It started to consume people.
Oh, yeah, I know who fired the first shot, and so do you.
Well,
who was enslaved?
Well, it had to be the Protestants.
No, it was the king.
Yeah. I'm talking about the North and South, but and then the Hatfields and the McCoys. Who fired the first shot? At some point, you just got to say, let's stop it. We got a lot of stuff to do here. I don't want this to go on forever. I really don't. As much as I don't like the guy, let's do what the Constitution says. Vote his ass out if we don't like him. Get somebody in there who's decent, which I don't know where we're going to find.
I agree with you on that, but I think we have certain people, specifically in the Senate right now, that are such hardline apologists that we can't get anything through.
Well, that's that. After being nice for a while, we had a lot of tweets on Thursday that weren't so we say the best regarding she'll be a little too liberal or something with Wayne. Wayne does turn a few people on, which is fine. Everybody has to think. Everybody has to think a little bit. But I am sort of so incensed by other things. I mean, when I say let's let it go, I'm willing to just say let's let it go. Okay, I don't want to listen to everybody. I don't want to listen to Elizabeth Warren and all these other people get on TV for the next 2 years demanding impeachment. I don't think that gets you anywhere. I don't think they get him impeached. I don't think they're going to end up just like Mueller. You know, a bunch of sleazeball actions, but nothing. Well, you know, here's my weekend, and here's why. You know, to the right wingers, they wonder why sometimes I speak against them. I won't say right wingers because I don't mind the Trumpies. On Friday, which is supposed to be a holiday for us or a day off, I spent the entire morning working with and meeting with people regarding some marketing piece we're going to do regarding like the Protect and Index program and stuff, which I've had approved 10 years ago, okay, by FINRA. Of course, that doesn't mean the next FINRA person is going to agree with what the last FINRA person said. Now, in my industry, or Frank, in my industry, FINRA is a for-profit regulatory agency. If anybody doesn't think that is the dumbest, most un-American idea that ever came across, you know, I can't help you. The idea that people make their money by fining people. It's like a police department that has a speed trap. And they do, and they get bonuses.
It's called Ferguson, Missouri.
Yeah, and what's her name that ended up, when she went to the SEC, she got $1.5 million bonus for leaving FINRA or something, or $2 million? What was her name? She was useless. In my opinion. But I'm saying, so I spend 4 hours on a day off going through every single word in this thing to where it can't possibly be misleading to anybody. That if somebody's 80 years old, they can't sit there and say, I promised something that I wasn't going to do, blah, blah, blah. And I literally spent, this is just on a holiday, not that I wasn't working on it before, met with some other people, went through it again, other with somebody else's opinion, word for word, could this possibly be misleading? No. Because if it's wrong, not only do I not want to mislead people, but I don't want these, you know, people down my neck saying you did this on purpose, that you swore you were getting this money from some guy 85 years old and you're going to get him 40% returns with no risk. Well, no. I never said that, never would say that. Yet, they're all over me. And then I flip on the TV and we have, and let's be frank here. I mean, one man's the president and we voted him in. We collectively voted him in. The people around him are the freaking hired help.
No, Tom, I just like the Electoral College.
Okay, well, whatever. But I'm saying he's there by the law of the land.
He is there.
But the people around him are our hired help. I don't want to spend 4 hours making sure I don't lie to anybody with the full weight of the government coming on me if I ever did. When Sarah Sanders, I misspoke. It wasn't thousands or whatever the number was of FBI people that wanted to call me fired. It was like two. I mean, I don't want to pay people to lie to me. When I obviously can't lie to anybody. I wouldn't anybody. People, at least people that listen to me know that I would, you know, I don't, lying is a ridiculous game. And on a personal level, I don't think anybody would want anybody lying to them. So I don't want to pay people, Sarah Huckabee, all these other people, I don't want to pay the entire staff. I mean, is Ann Conway, is she on the payroll? I don't want her lying. I just don't want it. I mean, if anybody thinks that I'm nuts for this, go ahead. Think I'm nuts. I don't want people lying to me because I don't lie to other people. And, oh, by the way, if I do in my industry, I get fined or whatever. I'd be put out of business. If the same people that are going to do that to me feel like it's okay for them. I mean, and where am I wrong here? I mean, to the people who are critical, you know what? I don't want those people lying to me. And one thing that I read enough this weekend, that a couple of the single biggest stories that our president was calling fake news and lies turned out to be true. There was a New York Times article and something else that were like his keynote fake news that they actually were true. And you know what? I don't want people lying.
And even more true than we knew.
Well, yeah. I'm smart enough, I think, to know that if I asked the president at a press conference, hey, do you happen to know the exact location of a stealth submarine USS Los Angeles off the Russian coast, he's going to look at me and say, you know I can't tell you that. But at least tell me you can't tell me that. Don't tell me it's in the South China Sea when it isn't. Say, hey, you idiot, you know I can't tell you that. Just say it, right? Don't lie to me.
What's funny about Trump right now is when his real big lies, like did he pay off the strippers, he adopts that same calm tone.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. You'll have to ask my lawyer.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's like, it's the only time you hear him is with the big lie.
When have we ever seen a president that had a personal lawyer like the whole time he was in office? God. Anyway, so how do we make any money on this?
Well, yeah, they're saying that it's still not the biggest lie from a president, though. The biggest lie was Nixon in 1968. This is the one that I am still angry about. The secret plan to end the war, which he didn't tell us it was going to be. We were going to surrender in 1974.
Well, that was
all
good.
The people that died. I had high school classmates that died while we're waiting for Nixon and Kissinger to deliver the secret plan. That's the one that pisses me off.
Well, I'm going to say that, you know, there's a lot of instances like this, but I'm surprised. I have a very brilliant, but, you know, a very conservative, brilliant buddy over at the Fed. And whenever I want to know anything about economic history, I don't have to look it up. I just go ask him. You know, it's absolutely spectacular. And but he grew up as an Army brat, and he was on all these different places. And one night, I don't know what we were talking about, I just read something regarding about Lyndon Johnson. You know, where I'd read the tape, or read the tape, I listened to the tape about him talking to one of his good old boy Southerners, where they're on the phone, and you know, this tape, you cannot find it now. I don't know who scrubbed it, where somebody put it, but I heard it once, and it was the guy's talking, Lyndon Johnson's going, oh, I forget who his redneck buddy was. We can't win this war. We can't win this war. I'm telling you, we cannot win this war. Lyndon, nobody likes a loser. Nobody likes a loser. You'll never be reelected if you say we can't win this war and you pull out. Nobody likes a loser. And next day he sent 60,000 troops to Vietnam after telling this guy on the phone there's no way we could win the war. And I mentioned my buddy's name is Robert. I mentioned Robert. I said, you know, even if there is a heaven, I want the big guy upstairs to give me one day in hell so I can find Lyndon Johnson and just smack him right between the eyes. And he goes,
he's probably playing poker with Nixon.
Yeah, and Robert says to me, oh, I'll go with you. And I go, why? He goes, well, some of those 60,000 people came from our base where my buddies never came back. I said, really? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, that's the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life. We sent those people over there after knowing we didn't know. He goes, I knew half of those, not half. I knew half of the people went from our base because they weren't what base he was at the time. And he goes, so, I mean, there's a lot of instances. What about Obama? Wins the Peace Prize. How many people did he kill by drone? I mean, for God's sake.
Oh, a whole lot less than previous presidents, but yeah, I understand what you're coming from, but...
I mean, name one of them who...
You know, how many Yemenis are dying right now because yeah. we're... Our elected legislator tried to... Congress tried to withdraw, remove support for Saudi Arabia's intrusion into Yemen, and our president vetoed it.
Well, we had, when I was, I think, not that far out of college, Frank, somebody did a study that if you were shot in any, there are all kinds of, what they used to call them hot spots, remember? Sort of wars, sort of not wars, undeclared wars, whatever you want to call them, places where people were shooting people. There's always like, what, like 10 or 12 around the world? I mean, it's never, actually there's less now than there used to be. There were times when there was like 20. There'd be like four or five African places, and then Thailand would be fighting somebody, and it's kind of way less, I think. Well, I guess you'd still, Ukraine's still a hot spot, right? I mean, they're around if you look at them. But somebody calculated you had like a 75% chance, this is probably before the Uzi, of being shot with an American bullet. I mean, we just fanned both sides and sold shit to both sides. It was, you know, I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, and there's people here that don't want our government doing that, and yet they don't seem to get anywhere. What do you mean? If we don't sell them to them, somebody else will. Right, you know. I mean, you read some of the history. I've been reading some of the history of these gun manufacturers and how the before World War I, wouldn't Smith & Wesson outfit somebody with like 1,500 revolvers? Where before that, then Colt would sell like 2,000 to somebody. I mean, how many people died around the world because our people sold them more advanced stuff for hundreds of years now? You know, I mean, I don't know. I'm going to say that the drone stuff started with Obama. We didn't have drones that killed people before that, did we? We had missiles.
Oh, yes, we did. The drones started with Bush for sure.
And ones that we could actually guns on and bombs on. I thought they just had cameras on them at that point. Right, where's Lou when we need him? He'd know about that.
Well, and then there's cruise missiles. They're just higher level drones.
Yeah, they're $1.5 to throw.
Yeah, I mean, if you can send something down a chimney in Baghdad, that's highly controlled.
But that takes two people. That takes somebody in Baghdad. Remember in the movie Patriot Games? Not Patriot Games. Clear and Present Danger.
Mm-hmm.
How the guy put the Matty? Remember that where he went up on the hill. And he shined a light, or he signed some kind of a signal on the drug dealer's house, right? So then when the smart bomb came in with the little wings on it, it headed right for where the signal was. But you needed somebody on the ground.
The cruise missiles are entirely different. They were dependent upon GPS.
Right. Right, but
and so that's what they were controlled by, you know, satellite view and GPS.
Well, this one it was a spectacular film in the sense that they got this little bomb, but the bomb's got wings. It was dropped from a plane. It was a regular bomb. It couldn't move itself, but it could steer itself. It could glide, sort of. You know what I'm saying? There was no power to it, so you couldn't have had to turn around and go back. So the little wings, he put the signal right on the Ford Bronco or whatever it was outside the guy's house. And the thing landed on the Ford Bronco. Like, exactly. Anyway, so Frank, since we can't solve all these problems, now we're tightening the noose on Iran, now we got oil back up to $65, up $1.30 today. How can we at least make some money off it, for God's sake, so we can survive? Because, now is this a big, are we talking Brent, $100 oil now with this, or is Iran, now we got Venezuela sort of offline. We got Libya, what are they, about 50-50? Remember, they're still 75%. Now we're trying to put the screws to Iran. Now, if we do that, are we going to squeeze up? Are we going to talk about $100 Brent? Just as the... Now, how does the president, in one day, tweet out that the oil is too high, it's screwing inflation, blah, 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 and the next day we're doing this to Iran? Doesn't he put two and two together? I'm not saying... You shouldn't do that.
Well, we can put two and two together.
Well, should we put two and two together and buy the XLE?
The two-word answer to that is Saudi Arabia.
Well, I mean...
Saudi Arabia needs some money.
Well, yes, they do, but should we...
Perhaps. I don't know if that's true, but, I mean, that's one of the places that we should investigate. And we need to see where his money is coming from. His foundation's money and his money.
You mean who? Well, Trump? Well,
our president.
Yeah, well, but okay, what I'm saying is, let's forget that for a second. Are we talking about, you know, XLE at 85 or 90? It hasn't gone anywhere. I've seen huge option.
We could go to 100 and XLE still might not go anywhere. It seems to be that's its...
All right.
The big deal there. Will it be enough to get Halliburton going again?
Earnings are today.
And Schlumberger. In other words, will the price of money go up, but the oil suppliers, like those two, or the oil suppliers, will not go up?
I have not traded
the oil service companies.
I have not traded the XLP that much. I've got my people that want to be in oil in the XLE, which, like you say, has been kind of lagging oil. But there's huge option activity, call buying in XLP last week, virtually every day. And now we've got oil going up today. Those guys haven't done very well either, the oil service people. But is there a trade here, or are we just going to...
There's a trade there because there's liquidity there. The question is, how long will the trade last? There's nothing worse than getting into a trade and then they decided that it was no longer a trade and didn't inform you. And then you got to just struggle to get out of it.
Well, you really can't...
I think you got to be nimble and not be greedy.
Well, you really can't trade the oil directly through an ETF. You got that USO, which, please, do not trade the USO. That thing is a horrendous product. So, but the oil companies continue to lag. And come back from break, Frank. Let's try and figure out why that is, because I'd sure like that to be up $2 or $3, because that would help all my people. S&P futures down 775. NASDAQ futures down 23. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll-free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. Now, tomorrow, Mr. Matt Weber on the board, Mr. Frank Fee on the line. S&P futures down 7, kind of right where it was last night. Well, went on 350 last night. We're down been this way all morning. NASDAQ futures down 23, Dow futures down about 62. Again, we had oil up $1.29. 10-year yield still 2.56. That's not even an issue anymore. Wow. In Asia, we got the Nikkei up 17. Call that flat. Shanghai down 55, 1.7. That's the biggest down move we had there in a while. But still, they're 32.15, way above at the 2,500, wherever they got down to. Hang Seng down 161, that's 0.5%. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 69.5%, FTSE down 11.1, CAC run up 17.3. Like I said, oil's kind of the big story this morning. West Texas up $1.29, that's 2%. Ran up 172, that's 2.4%. So they're 73.69, so that spread is now $8.40, so it's expanded a little bit. RBOB gas, 211. I'm going to say that the gas was up 8-9 cents easy, well over $3 anywhere I was this weekend. So, inflation, here we come, or if we're not already there. Gold is up 5.30, but still 12.81. Not reacting too much to it. Silver up 6 cents, back over $15, 15.01. Maybe we got forced traffic, weather, sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We already have a crash to report on the Kennedy. It's on the outbound side just before Sayre Avenue, and it's been moved to the right shoulder, so it's causing a bit of a slowdown, but it could be worse. It's not blocking any lanes right now, but there are crews on the scene working on getting that cleared up, and that causes a bit of a slowdown on the outbound side out past O'Hare. No issues coming in inbound on the Kennedy. Same with the Edens. Eisenhower and Stevenson looking good. Southside expressways have been quiet all morning. Only other issue of concern right now is on the south side. 63rd Street is closed between Peoria and Halstead due to an earlier crash. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, mild temperatures, lots of sunshine early, then clouds roll in this afternoon, and we could see some thunderstorms in the late afternoon or early evening. We'll reach a high of 78, so that'll be nice. Right now, it is mostly sunny and 58 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 87 today. Right now, it's clear and 63. In sports, Cubs keep rolling. They've won 7 out of 9, and they've won 3 of their last 4 series, and the fourth was a split as they topped the Diamondbacks 2-1. Had a 1-0 lead in the ninth, gave up a tying solo shot. Pedro Strop blew the save, but then David Bodie with a walk-off RBI single.
He got the win.
And he gets the win because of that. Cubs are off tonight, and then the Dodgers come to town on Tuesday. White Sox lost 2 of 3 in Detroit, falling to the Tigers 4-3 yesterday. White Sox are at Baltimore tonight. And the Diamondbacks, after losing 2 of 3 to the Cubs in the Stocks and Jocks Cup, they head to Pittsburgh this evening. So as we take our Monday morning look at the Major League Baseball standings, the White Sox are now 8-12, fourth place out of the 5 AL Central teams, 4.5 back of first place Minnesota, who's off to a good start. They're 12-7. The Cubs are up to 500 after a 2-7 start. They're now 10-10. 2.5 back of first place Pittsburgh, who hosts the Diamondbacks tonight. Diamondbacks are also 500 at 11-11. They're 3 games back of the first place Dodgers, who will be at Wrigley beginning tomorrow. Chief.
The your buddy Joe Mann was being interviewed regarding the White Sox brouhaha.
Yeah, I saw that.
And Anderson?
Apparently Ricky, too, got suspended for a game. And he was just talking about how you should respect the game, but he says he launched into the pace is fine, it's not too long. Is he out of his mind?
He said when the game is played correctly, it's not too long. I mean, if you look at the games this week, the Cubs games this week have been 2.5 hours, 2:35, 2:40, because the starters are going 7 innings and pitching well, and then the bullpen's coming in and shutting it down, and there's not a ton of errors and a ton of walks. He's right in that regard. The question or the issue is that most games are not played that way.
Well, the Cubs actually have a few starters. I'm going to say, well, he's a charter starter now, I guess, Chatwood, but certainly Hendricks, that are really old school when it comes to get the ball and throw it.
Well, Lester is.
Yeah.
I mean,
Quintana certainly is. Yeah.
When they're rolling, that's the thing. I mean, they got off to slow starts this year, and they were walking a lot of guys. But this week, the starting pitching has been outstanding, and even Chatwood was great yesterday. And, you know, that's how the game moves along.
A lot of that has to do
with defense, and you pitch.
A lot of that has to do with the catcher too. He calls him and just wants the ball again. And I mean, I'd say the Cubs are but in general, the pace of play around the league. I watch games and the guys are like, it's 40 seconds between pitches. I don't know if it's a catcher or who it is, but.
Well, that's typically when it gets into the bullpen, it can really slow down.
And it's just the pace of whatever, but yeah, the Cubs, I like watching Hendricks pitch, but Chatwood, is there any chance he's got it back together? I mean,
the guy's got great stuff.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That's why they signed him, and he made pretty good money for being a fourth or fifth starter, but he was one of the best fourth or fifth starters in the game. And he just lost all control and then lost all confidence. It became a head issue with him. And if he gets that back, then you plug him right in. I mean, he's terrific stuff-wise. He just has got to throw the ball over the plate.
Are they the Morrow had another setback, allegedly?
Yeah, I don't know if he'll pitch all year, to be honest.
Yeah, that's not so. So, Frank, I'm looking at this. We were talking, bouncing around here. A year ago, I don't think oil was any. I don't think it was. I think it was lower than this, wasn't it? Yet I got Schlumberger at like $75. And now, after a a huge comeback, the thing is, it's 46. So, I mean, how do you? Why are the stocks? I mean, I've also got people in the gold miners index, and it's lagging gold too. Why are the stocks lagging the indexes or lagging the commodity? Because if you want to trade the GLD, you can, because it's what I'll use the term. It's a legitimate ETF where there's actually the physical is somewhere in a vault, but you can't trade the USO. You can't trade these other underlyings because they're worked off futures. You don't want any part of one of those things. But why do you suppose these stocks are so lagging?
I have no idea. It could be a lack of predictability. Well, we have the stocks lagging, and then we, as a result, some of the ETFs are lagging and not tracking the underlying, because it's how the ETF is constructed, the weighting of it. I mean, you and I both remember 10 years ago, the USO was the best thing going. It was liquid, it was easy to get in, it was easy to get out, and it tracked. When I say track, it means that movements in oil are reflected in the price changes in oil are reflected in price changes in the ETF.
Well, they still are for a daily basis.
That didn't happen anymore, and the liquidity disappeared. And right now, we can't find an ETF that tracks oil.
No.
And that means we can trade an ETF, that product, instead of having to trade oil futures.
Which is virtually impossible.
Gosh.
That's a tough deal for any
retail. Gold's the same way. I've heard complaints for 20 years about the oil or the gold producers index.
Right, but at least the GLD, which is the gold physical ETF, tracks gold.
Yeah, the GLD ETF is where you want to be, and this is done, you know, a lot for the gold bugs, the gold traders.
Let me explain this a little bit better to everybody, Lucy. There's two kinds of ETFs. Well, there's all kinds of ETFs, but basically, in my world, there's two kinds. One I like and one I don't. If you use the spiders, or you use the NDX, or any of that stuff, the QQQ, any of the things that I put my people into, the XLE, when you buy that, if people accumulate it, the specialist accumulates those stocks in the proper ratio, and essentially deposits them at State Street Bank, and they're rewarded with SPYs, QQQs, XLE, whatever it is. So the stocks are actually on deposit at State Street Bank. So you really are buying the physical. So when dividend day comes out, and State Street Bank's got 90 bazillion shares of Exxon in there, they're going to get the dividend for all those shares of Exxon, and so are you. So they have the quote, physical. And gold is the same way. Someplace, somewhere, and I don't know if you ever want to audit the place, that's another issue. There is allegedly enough gold bars for all the people that own the GLD. Same thing with the SLV. Now, if you flip to oil and some of these other things, but say oil, for instance, that you're not buying, there's not, 15 storage facilities out there filled up with your oil from the USO. And I'm thinking, Frank, that was probably a very big mistake in the get-go. They said, we're gonna synthetically take care of that through futures. So every month, if they're long the oil futures, if they rolled it the next month, and God help you if the next month is cheaper, because now you're really losing money in the position. So, you essentially degrade either by the roll itself, by the bid-and-ask spread, or if the next month happens to be lower, or if you got backwardation, you got a problem. So backwardation is when they're higher going up, but that's even worse. But the point is, you have this continual drain every month, and you don't want to be, which they still give you, theoretically, on any given day. Like if oil were to jump like 10% today, the USO probably would go from wherever the hell it is. Say it's at 11, it might go, it's at 1360. It probably would go up $1.30 today. But if oil's right, stays there 6 months from now, the USO is going to be lower because it just degrades. So it probably still on a day-to-day basis you can trade the darn thing, Frank, but I wouldn't hold it for more than a couple days. So. Is that a fair assessment of the U.S.?
And the options are almost non-existent.
Yeah,
at times.
You're down to 13 bucks. You know, what's the point? So the USO is becoming an option at 13 bucks. Right?
Exactly.
But now the question is, why haven't these companies maintained? And I don't know the answer to that, Frank. But I know my people want to be in the stocks.
We should get a hint this morning. Halliburton earnings are this morning. I don't know if they came out, so the conference call should tell us what Halliburton thinks is going on
now. Let me flip the stack up here.
Or the lie, what they want us to believe might be a better way to put it.
Well, the earnings have been sort of interesting so far. I mean, I got them up $1.12, so maybe they must have already come out. They probably were good. I got to trade in 32.25, so... I was going to do a spread there, and then I did not. I've had a pretty good earnings thing, though, with my little weeklies, Frank.
Oh, this is a big earnings week, too.
Yeah, that's why...
I mean, we have Microsoft. We have the one I'm sort of interested in, just from a morbid curiosity, is Boeing's earnings are before the opening on Wednesday.
Yeah, what do you... I've got those guys with about a $3.5 billion cash drain a month. By not delivering those 737s and just paying for them and just bumping them off the end of the line. I mean, how long do you think they can handle that? As big as they are, how long do you think they can handle that?
without going out of business indefinitely, because there's only, four airplane manufacturers?
Well, there's really only two.
So.
Also, get a lot of this.
Yeah, two.
Did you see the size of the contract they just got to rehab B-52s and B-1s? It's like $14 billion. It's a massive number.
Wow.
So to say that we're not going to protect, Boeing is... You think they spent enough money in Washington? I'll bet they got a skybox at the Nationals Park. Just saying. Or at least some pretty good tickets.
I bet they have a skybox at Wrigley, too.
I bet they got one at Wrigley. They got one at the stadium. United Center. And I bet they even have one at Sox Park. Maybe not.
They should.
Yeah. And I don't think they're serving hot dogs. Just saying. Maybe they are, but I bet you get some ribs, too, and some other good stuff. So, hey, I got a question for you. As we argue this tax number, obviously I set a few people off on Thursday by saying that for a lot of people there was no tax cut on the Trump thing. And after the show, we had a bunch of tweets saying, God, Chief doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, of course, I dug into it for about 2 hours. And it's very uneven. For some people, it was a big tax cut. For some, it was, depending on the state you're in. But it also really kind of went against big families, Frank, which is kind of bizarre. And if you have, your deductions went up, the standard deduction, but you lost the individual deduction. So if you have 5, 6 kids, if you're taking care of the mother-in-law and somebody's blind, and we used to get an extra deduction, you pretty much top out at like 4, right?
Exactly.
So if that's working for you, it really is kind of all over the place. It's almost like, first of all, I have a tricky question for you, Frank. See how good you are at this. And I'll keep it brief. I had an out trade at the Restaurant Depot on Saturday, of all things. You might ask yourself, how could you have an out trade at the Depot? I go and I buy, we have eggs in the office, and I basically sprinkle them around the area. I give some to Nate, but my man Nate, we can't find him, Maddie. I'm very worried. Anyway, so the question always was, Frank, would you rather have 15 dozen extra large, the price Saturday was $12.83, okay, or 12 dozen jumbos at $11.50? Now, there's a question.
Okay.
So, of course, I grab the case out of the jumbo pack. I get home and I go, that carton looks blue. They're normally white. So, of course, I open it up and I have large. So now I have an out trade, right? So, guess how much 15 dozen large are at the Depot?
Boy, $9?
$10.50. And then I bought 5 pounds of cheese for $9.50. Already sliced and everything. So when we talk about taxes, and next time you go anywhere and get the $12.50 omelet, and you realize that for that $12.50 you could have bought essentially 15 dozen large eggs and gotten money back and bought, say, a pound of cheese, and you look at taxes, it's very disingenuous to look at taxes as only the federal income tax. And I keep talking about this, and everybody keeps telling me I'm nuts. There's four legs to this stool. And if you don't think that a lot of your personal daily life is being driven by the property tax increases and so forth in the state of Chicago and some of these income taxes that are probably going to go up in Illinois, more so than they are by the federal tax. I mean,
I'm looking at houses in Munster today, Indiana.
Yeah.
The same house is in Illinois will have tax that's 35, a third, maybe 40% of what it is in Illinois.
Yep.
So all of a sudden I've looked at houses here and I'm going, wait, I'm going to pay $310 for a house here because we're downsizing, and I'm going to pay $9,000 a year in taxes, real estate taxes. Then I'm going to have my mortgage deduction oh, geez, I'm over the $10,000. This is losing situation.
Absolutely.
And a lot of this is this new tax code is a payback to northern states.
And that's when people, you know, and I don't. Nobody gives a rat's behind what I think of them, nor probably should you. But I'll tell you what, when I was I ran for the board of the CBOE, we ran from the outside. I think the vote totals were, I'm going to say, Frank, I don't know if you were on the floor at the time, I'm going to say I got 275, 280, and there were like 57 against me, right? The thought of finding out and going back at the 57 people that voted against me never even crossed my mind. Now, does that mean I'm a moron? Maybe it does. And now we have people that get elected, and in the states that didn't vote for them, we're trying to punish. That, you know what? That to me is grounds for mental impeachment. I mean
well, and you can add into it, we have different groups or offices or parts of the administration or the government that are supposed to aid us in times of crises. And then when you start looking at how these are staffed at the top, I mean, what, 4 of 9 seats are filled in Homeland Security? And, you know, that's FEMA and a bunch of other things. Well, if there's a crisis, who's doing the leading? Is it, once again, the president's whim? Puerto Rico has enough money. I mean, that's what I find the scariest, is,
well,
we're lacking management, upper-level management.
What I'm saying is, I guess what I'm saying is that the idea that you even something like that would come across, I mean, I don't remember. We've had some pretty bad presidents, but I never heard even Tricky Dick on his inauguration day, not that Trump did this, say, well, there's 15 states that didn't vote against me. I'm going to do my best to screw them. I mean, you know, you would think that it's an election. You're. I mean, what would what's her name here in what's her name? Our new mayor,
Lori Lightfoot.
Yeah. I mean, how many people voted for her out of 3 million? I'm going to say 260,000, 300,000. Is she going to try and screw the other 2.7 million because they didn't vote for her? That'd be interesting. Identify.
I would guess that's near the bottom of her priorities.
Yeah. Well, so what I'm saying, this when you talk about these taxes,
as it should be.
This is real cash all over the place, and you need to look at the total. I think you need to look at the total package. That would be my opinion. So, and when you talk about what states, they say, look at these blue states. Well, guess what? Some of the red states that are pulling themselves up by their bootstraps. If you ever want to, you know, edumacate yourself, as my aunt used to say, go online and just Google states that get the biggest return from federal taxation, and it reads like a red hall of fame. It's gonna be Alabama, New Mexico. I'm not so sure New Mexico was all that red last time, but Alabama, Florida, they've all got the bases down there. New Mexico has actually was one I read, Frank, that had was not just the taxation money that came back. It had to do with people there, percentage of the population that were federal employees. There was three. It was taxation coming back, and I don't know what the third.
And I've seen some where they. An alternative measurement where they measure the federal and military pensions.
Well, yeah, right. So that was the third one, maybe. But like New Mexico, out of 10,000 people, like four times as many people are employed by the federal government as Illinois or Connecticut or someplace. It's not even close.
Well, they have Los Alamos,
well,
I believe.
Right, but I'm saying
New Mexico.
They have, those people always get paid. They always got a pension, right? No, so
they always have insurance.
Yeah, they always have insurance. There are people you essentially don't have to worry about. Florida's the same way. I mean, how many bases are in Florida? Or in Alabama? I mean, it's just, that's, you know, South Carolina.
How many bases have been closed in the Midwest in our lifetime?
Well, California, when we were Matt's age, I'm going to say California probably had more bases than anybody. And didn't they close like 12 of them out there or something? Now, they went from being like one of the top recipients to one of the bottom. And they've got San Diego, and they've got something in Oakland, but not very many. All right, Frank, we got 2 minutes. We got to trade this market this week. Is there any companies that you like or don't like in the earnings? I mean, I guess you got to see what the earnings are and you got to see where the implied volatilities are before you, because nobody really gives you that much of a heads up on these things like they used to.
No. I mean, I like Caterpillar. I always do. I always trade that for earnings. That's one of the ones that does well for me. And that earnings is today. No, it's on.
The only one this morning is Halliburton. Hey, I got a technical question for you.
We don't
want to go too technical on this, but
Cats on Wednesday. I apologize. Microsoft, Facebook.
Let's only do 30 seconds.
I mean, there's a lot going on.
Oh yeah, so this is the biggest week. There was an expiration. There was an earnings Thursday night. SG something something. One of these. I'll get the name of the darn thing. But how does the option? We spent an hour talking about it here. How does the option exercise even work in that? One of these things in here. But the expiration was after the, you know, the stock pot went down like $30 after the close. So how did I mean? I after all these years in the business, I knew what it would have been like on the floor, but that's a huge advantage. So ISRG, that's a huge advantage for professional people over retail people. Because if they could exercise.
Well, one of the biggest ones is look how many stocks we've seen go down 5%.
Yeah.
And then open unchanged or up 5% and open up unchanged. And Intuitive Surgical's a horror show at times. But ISRG, it's always been a stock that a lot of people like to play just because it's exciting.
But that's a massive advantage.
But what happens is, when you and I were traded on the floor, we could trade stock after the close. If it was up 5% and our position said, hey, Frank, you can lock in profits and sell stock.
What if you've got...
You did it.
What if you've got the 30 puts and the stock's trading 235 and after the close it's trading 220 or 210 or 200? I'm going to say that most places you can't get that exercise in as a retail person, but as a professional you can.
I think the cutoff's 330. It always used to. I can only attest to what it was through probably 2000.
Well, no, the cutoff is still Friday
and
or Saturday. But
it was 3:30 was
right
Chicago time.
I mean,
you're screwed.
You call your brokerage firm. There's nobody around after 3:30. Right. I mean, who do you find? Anyway, let's talk about more.
Nobody.
Yeah. So I mean, they shouldn't allow that to happen. I think because I think it's too big of an advantage. Anyway, let's. How about that next time? Frank, thank you very much, buddy. SP Futures down 7 still. As that future came back a little bit, only down 27.50. Come right back. We should have Miss Audrey Johnson.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs. Interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous. No return on cash balances. May have some invested a little too much for comfort. Some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
This is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. But have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at ptisecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@ptisecurities.com. That's john@ptisecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Something happening.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. He's from Weber on the Board. We have Audrey Johnson from Home Source Realty. And the line SP Futures now down 850. We've dropped a little bit here. ASI Futures down 3175. We were down 675.7. Now we just dipped some. For those of you who trade Tesla, I never have. It's down 434. There's some Tesla car blew up in Shanghai. So a parked car.
Yikes.
I don't know if that, you know, who the hell knows. Maybe it's, could be a mafia car. It could have been a bomb in there, man. How do we think it's Tesla? I'm just saying.
That's a good point.
Bud, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? I'm just glad I wasn't in that parked car.
Yeah, well, it's, I mean, you know, here it always was the mafia thing. The guy gets in and boom, you know, and there it's, we think it, we're gonna blame Tesla without even knowing, but, I think that company gets way too much, publicity. What do you think, Manny? Although I do see some of them around now.
Between them and Apple.
Yeah.
They get all the free publicity they could handle.
That is spectacular, isn't it?
It really is.
So, Ed, what's going on in the, I know you've been busy as can be, selling places and listing places, and, the interest rate coming back down has kind of opened the floodgates for you guys, at least for a little while, but you're taking advantage of it and people are moving, eh?
Oh, there is. There's a lot of business, and I think you've got, several factors going on. There's the pent up demand of low, you know, very low inventory still out there. You know, I think it's still affecting many parts of the entire Chicago metropolitan area, not just my area of southwestern suburbs. So people are out there looking for homes, and you've got just your average, your first-time buyers. Now you've got some of your move-up buyers. You've got your rehab market. So there's a lot of people fighting for the piece of the same pie there.
Well, just as the camel stuck his nose under the tent, you stuck your nose in the city and did some selling in here. That's not really new to you, but all of a sudden you're expanding your wings, shall we say.
Well, it's nice to have people call you and ask you to help them with their business always, and if somebody trusts you to do some marketing in a different spot, it's always a good compliment. And it's fun for me to see different areas and be in people, an area that I had been in for a while, and revisit it and see revitalization going on. And it's fun. It's exciting. It's good for the city and good for people moving in those areas.
Well, from what you've told me, it's been a little bit of a mixed bag. Some areas you thought were getting better really aren't, and some areas you thought weren't are.
Well, it's interesting, and even the type of improvements that are going on, and some are becoming more of your trendy, hip, west side of Chicago area, and some are becoming more developed into like a more neighborhoody area. So it's fun to see. Instead of the high rises, you see single families. So just an interesting variation in the landscape.
I've been railing about the taxes in Illinois, and I've been, you know, using some of the
Everybody's
stuff.
Everybody's railing about the taxes. I hardly talk to a single customer, no matter where you buy, that says, what about these taxes? So
is it
chasing some people over the borders, that's for sure.
But is it, how can I put this? Because, I mean, I know the business is good right now, and I want it to stay that way. If you ever had a combination of, you know, rates scurrying back to like 5 or 6%, which I don't anticipate anytime soon, and the taxes, that combination would be kind of a nuisance, some of this stuff, to me. I mean, would I be right, or am I over-exaggerating?
Well, every time you get a rise in rates and or a rise in prices, you narrow the pool that a buyer could purchase it. So you'll literally drive the competition down to cheaper priced homes because people have to go with what they could afford. So if your price range is narrowed, obviously, you know, you're going to do what you have to do to put a roof over your head.
Well, Art, what is one thing you've been, that I was, you know, dying to get you on to talk about this, because, like I said, you've gone to different areas, and you've actually uncovered some stuff on the south side, that areas that are booming, which is, what surprises me is that, you know, we talk about taxation a lot on the show, as you well know, and, you know, we talk about the progressive taxation or regressive taxation or whatever you want to do it. I don't think I've ever come across anything as regressive as some of the stories that you're telling me. I mean, essentially, if you buy a place for $1 million, your taxes are probably $35,000. But you know areas where if you buy a place for $60,000, your tax is $5,000. I mean, it's not even on the same planet percentage-wise.
No, and you know, I'm hoping that who knows, maybe that would help people enormously in areas where prices are lowered and obviously wages are lower. You know, if taxes were a little more comparable, more people would be able to buy homes and be affordable. And a lot of times people will lose homes simply because the tax payment becomes more than the house payment.
But if it was even money, which of course you could never count on politicians to do it that way, if it was even money, do you think we'd be better off to nudge, I mean, just out of, not that you and I want to pay it or any of the listeners, do you think we'd be better off nudging the income tax up a little bit statewide and being less reliant on property taxes, which to me seems...
I would never trust to nudge the state of Illinois anything, because nothing would ever get back.
I agree. I'm saying you couldn't trust these guys to do it, but on a theoretical level, do you think we rely too much, schools and everything else, on local property taxes? I think we might.
Well, here's the point is, again, there's no going back, because, you know, if people are making so much less in these areas, and then you take away the overpriced taxes, how are you ever going to compensate?
Well, you're not. It's...
Yeah, so... Something's going to happen again somewhere.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is...
Minnesota Pop, God forbid.
I guess what I'm saying, should a bigger percentage, if you had to do it all over again, should a bigger percentage of each child's education come from the state and not from local? Because that's what causes a lot of these big discrepancies. I mean, I don't know.
I think we had to do it all over again, and we got rid of all the thievery in the state of Illinois, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Well, that's another issue, yeah. I mean, it's... Well,
we didn't have to worry about funding pensions and floating the state. We probably wouldn't have to worry about all that.
Well, you guys were treating me bad last Thursday. You were kids compared to the people who were treating me bad the day we had the state of Illinois teacher guy. Remember that, Manny, the pension fund guy?
Yeah.
Chief and his rich friends going out to his high-end bars. I'm like, okay. So, it was the last time a Tripoli Tap was ever called a high-end bar.
I'm going to tell Nick you said that.
Well, I mean, it's a as Nick would say, it's a high-end dive bar, would be in his words. Well, I'm talking about high-end, boy, they were mad Friday night, Manny. You going to go tomorrow, the seventh game?
No. I'll be there tonight, though.
Really?
Maybe after basketball.
What time's your game?
I don't know. I need to look.
How could you not know? Aren't you the general manager?
I am, but I don't always look right away. I need to actually print out my schedule and know in advance. I never do that.
But the would you be?
You're busy. You're a busy man. What can we tell you?
But anybody in the U.S. who thinks they're crazy for a sport, nobody's nuttier than these people in Toronto for this hockey team. How many people stand? I mean, there isn't a chair anywhere. They stand outside and watch the big screen. What is it? A 2.5 hour event, and there's no place to sit. There's like thousands of people out there watching the game on big screen TVs.
Yeah.
Well, now you're just showing your age because all these people just want to participate in a group event.
That's exactly right.
God, I knew you when you were younger, still young. I'm not so sure I ever knew a day where I could drag you behind to, let's say, Times Square, where you're going through a metal detector at 7 o'clock for a 12 o'clock thing. No place to go to the bathroom and no place to get a beer. I don't know if we were ever that young.
Well, that's because we spent all day in the training pit surrounded by hundreds of people sweating and screaming on you. So who needed to be in a crowd after work?
Man, it's amazing what happened.
It's a good point.
Girlfriends before Odd, and maybe this is why they were before Odd, we have Friday night in the pit. We'd have a big day. And people were literally on me. I had as much of their sweat on me as my own, right? And the girlfriend would say, let's go to this place on Friday night. And I would say, look, if I don't get my own chair away from somebody, I'm not going. And they would have no concept of why I would say that. And when I worked at Pullman, it had a desk where nobody was near me. I couldn't wait to get into a crowded place on a Friday night.
Right, and, sure.
But when I was standing there literally in a spot, how many square feet odd were people leaning on me? You would never even think people could stand that close together.
Oh, yeah.
There were days.
Yeah, like people sweat, and they step on you, and they yell in your ear, and you get pushed and jostled, and you were way taller than most people. I would get shoved around. When it got busy, it was okay most of the time, but at times I would wear high heels so that when people lean on you, I could step on them to get up them off my back.
But, man, some days I couldn't put my arms down. I had to have them up writing, but I couldn't put them down. There was no room. And then somebody, let's go to this crowded bar, and I'd go by yourself. What do you mean, go by myself? But you know how you ladies don't really understand it half the time, type of thing. It's just the way you are sometimes.
With the Chrysler pit with about 200 other men, so.
Yeah, Odd could understand it. She'd say, I don't want to go anywhere they can't sit either, so.
Everybody smelled bad at the end of the day. You smelled bad because they rubbed all over you. Just wanted to get out to your ears and stop ringing.
But then again, that brings up the age-old question. If everybody smells, does anybody smell?
Yes, I still smelled better than they did.
Oh, yes, I'm sure you did. Hey, I have a question regarding, I'm kind of ragging big time on some of our regulators today. You were the first one who was telling me that, because you're the only person I know in the business, no more, can't bring even $100 cash to a closing, can't bring a check, can't bring a certified check, and now everything has to be wired. Every person I know, either somebody who's does something, or they remodel houses, they're a realtor, they're a banker. Every person I know has said that there's been a wire that's been stolen or redirected or someplace. When are our morons, and I use that term exactly, that are the regulatory people that make up these rules, going to say this isn't working, let's go back to a certified check or something? Or let's give people option to bring a check. I mean, what has to happen for this to... I mean, Matt Weber, our used to be young producer, will tell you, because he's in the industry, that more online theft goes on than any other kind of theft. And yet we still have laws going every day that say everything has to be done online. I mean,
it's good to see when you get a wire from a... Because usually the attorney in Illinois, usually it's the attorney sending you wire instructions or the title company, and you'll get a letter that will usually say you're going to spend an entire paragraph saying, hey, don't do anything until you read this whole letter, and don't send and literally do not send a wire, until somebody calls you, talks to you, whatever. It'll be like sometime in red ink, so that people will notice, will notice the difference, because I think they like the wiring. A was supposed to be more secure. Imagine that it's not, but it makes it easier a lot of times for title companies to cut checks. And you'll still bring a certified check to close for overages, like, you know, in case they're not exactly sure what the funds are going to be, and then they'll cut you a check back for that. And obviously, a lot of times it'll be a check for, you know, just a closing cost and things. So, but not going to, for like, if they say, oh, you should bring an extra $2,000 to closing because, you know, there might be a difference of $1,000. And then if there's, you only owe so much money left, they'll cut you a check back for the difference. But, yeah, they generally will give you wiring instructions, but a lot of times then they'll call or give a very secure method of access so that they know the party's still on the other. It's, yes.
Didn't you tell me about one where
it used to be easier.
Didn't you tell me about one where they were a couple of hours off and the person pulled 200 hours out of their pocket and they wouldn't take it?
Oh, they don't like cash. They won't take cash.
Why? It says right on there, legal tender for all 12.
Because they won't take cash. What can I tell you?
Anyway, are we going the right way or the wrong way?
Well, I understand.
I understand.
Well,
it's probably easier one day with that. I think, well, you know, there's no place to. It's more record keeping for them. It's more documentation. They don't want to be bothered.
Yeah, I think the original intent to prevent fraud maybe had some merit, but everything, you know, there's always the unintended consequences that you
right.
that always come into play, and I think that's where this issue falls.
They were afraid that checks were easier to forge whatever, and then wire fraud and like anything else. To him, once the hackers got a hold of it, you know, it's like the Wild West out there.
But
that.
I guess my question is the whole principle of it. I don't get. I mean, I know I'm beating this one up pretty good, but is if I'm buying a house from Maddie and I've got the lawyer, he's got a lawyer, we both got a real estate people, we're sitting there, and somehow somebody screws up, and the thing says $465,100 on one side, and the other side says $465,000 even, and we're off by $100. Why can't I just say to Maddie, why don't we split it, here's $50. That's between Maddie and me. Rip up the one that says $465,100, let's use the other one. That's between us. Why does the banker or somebody?
Oh my God! Create chaos.
Tom. I'm saying why does the banker have to tell us we can't do that? I'm buying a house for him. If we say it's okay, here I'll go with you. Use the 465 even. Let's use your numbers. Here's $50. Let's do it. Why?
You have to redo the closing statements and everything has to be action. It's kind of like having a major outrage.
Man, I'm befuddled by this whole thing. I mean, if you and I agree to it, why do we have to get the approval of the other idiots?
No, I agree with you on that.
You can't change the price of the house and things at the closing table. I mean, if the contracts are wrong, I mean, that's why the title companies are trying to eliminate problems. That's a whole conversation for a different what you can and can't do. Like sometimes if somebody had a closing credit, you could give somebody a $50 or whatever. But everything can't be cash. It's got to be a check.
But
they would send them out for a check or whatever. Because you have to be able to document everything.
Don't argue.
I'm just telling you.
I understand. let me rephrase.
There's no cash, period. Sorry.
But I'm saying if the number I think is wrong, okay, or Maddie thinks is wrong, and he thinks I owe him another $100. Mm-hmm. And somehow somebody screwed up. And the title statement's there. It's 465 even. And Maddie goes, no, you owe me another $100. And I go, yeah, I do. Why can't we just leave it at 465 and me give Maddie the $100? Why don't I make the rest of you knuckleheads
go out? You probably could.
You go out of the room, I'll give Maddie $100, and I'll just say, 465 is fine. We're not even letting you know.
Well, we have to The closing statements have to match. So they will allow you to give them a check for the difference, but we have to redo the closing statement to reflect that.
So let me get this straight. If I went back to the trading floor, which of course there is none, very little of one, I have to have some regulator watching every single trade. Explain to me how I would have done 350 trades in a day with some idiot watching me. And have to go over
different
everyone.
World, Tom. Different world.
Is it a better world?
Well, it remains to be seen.
What do you think, Manny?
The pits were more fun back then, that's for sure.
Well, you just said that people were sweating on you. Now you're telling me they were more fun.
Well, we also had a lot of fun, as you recall. I mean, I think everybody who worked on the trading floor could attest that it was a fascinating time of living history and understanding how the market worked in person, in the flesh. And also, when it wasn't busy, there was a lot of jokes and pranks going around. And all in all, it was probably one of the most interesting and fun things I'd ever done in my life, that's for sure.
Well, Manny, I think everybody, you know, worlds change, but everybody, I think, would benefit, I won't say needs to, would benefit from a situation where trading floor was an awful lot like Pullman. I mean, there were 1,000 people in the factory. And when there's 1,000 people around, it's interesting. there's somebody who knows everything about everything. You talk about, one day I was talking to my guys in Pullman about the horse races. The next thing I know, they bring this guy in and introduce me. He used to be a jockey. He's telling me all about the rents and all about if there's a Wednesday jockey's race where if you bet $50, the jockeys get the win. And if you ever bet more than $50, you'd end up with a broken kneecap because everybody would risk being caught. And how the last day of the meet, they knew the barns had a bad time and couldn't afford to pay their barn bill. So all of a sudden, the last 2 days, they'd miraculously be winning every race so they could pay their barn bill. I mean, you know, on a small race, it's not, you know, not going to throw a Kentucky Derby or anything like that. But I mean, the world is an amazing place when you talk to people from all. Whenever you're in a spot where there's 1,000 people, I thought the funniest thing was Bob Dole came to the floor once when he was running against. Who did he run against? Did he run against Clinton?
He ran against Clinton in '96, I believe.
He comes to the floor and he's walking around. And None of those guys actually shake hands. They just pat your hand. Because if you shook hands with 1,000 people a day, your hand would be a mess. Plus, the poor guy, was it his one arm was messed up, right? From World War II?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's walking around the training floor. And if you were like new on the floor, they'd run up and tape the little trail to your heels. The paper all wound together. So you walk around like you had tails
or
on your heels.
Or tape like horrible signs on my back, on your back or something.
So of course he's walking down
that
the floor.
That you didn't know about.
And he's got the big tail going on his heels.
Oh God.
The presidential candidate.
What guy came up from Texas? Somebody cut out cardboard spurs and taped them to the back of his wingtips and he never even knew it.
they had some guy, this will go no further. They had some guy that was, he was Mr., he was trying to be like a big muscle guy, like Mr. Universe or something. So the dude could barely fit in his training jacket, but he had a, what's the thing on the top of your shoulders, your delts or something? What are the muscles up on top of your shoulder? But his were so big he couldn't turn around and scratch his neck. So like every 5 minutes, some little guy run by him and flip the back of his collar up because he couldn't put his collar down. So here's this big monster dude being tormented by all these little dudes flipping up his collar. Anyway, so Odd, what remodeling? Let's talk about that for a couple of minutes. We only have a couple more minutes. What is the state of the flipping remodeling? We were talking about it yesterday. I mean, I guess my nephew just bought a place and he's doing a lot of work with it. Some of the remodeling now has gone with, I think, I'll lead the witness a little bit, people buying homes that just, there's really kind of nothing, quote, wrong with them except dated and not maintained, maybe because the older people don't have the money they used to have. And people are buying them and just making them essentially move-in ready because the younger people don't really want to remodel. It's not what you and I would call remodel, where, you know, where you got to redo the whole damn place. We're talking about, you know, just making it nice is kind of the new flip, isn't it?
Well, I think the competition has heated up so dramatically for rehabbers and flippers because obviously now they're competing with more and more people coming into the market now, because now we actually are seeing all the millennials coming into the market more and more. At least that's what I'm seeing. But with the rehabbing, obviously, if you're a rehabber, the less work you have to do, the better off you are. You know, make your easier, faster for your bottom line. And obviously, if you're a rehabber, you could find something that's more cosmetic than a complete gut job. You know, your bottom line is going to be better and faster. But it's if they can get them and they come in with crews, the people who do it and do it well and actually treat it like a true professional business, they work quickly. They're ready to go. That closes and they've already got the material orders. They're in and out and they're flipping around in a house in 45, 60 days and getting it back on the market. So their cost of carry is down and, you know, they can make some money. You know, they want to get out now with peak season.
One of the first guys who backed me on the trading floor, this is like 1982, some guy from Wilmington, Delaware named Cesar Proto. talk about an Italian dude. He was a big remodeling kind of guy, and I said, well, you know, I'd done kind of some remodeling. He goes, well, like, did you have a company? And he goes, if you don't have your own full-time crew, you're a rank amateur.
There you go.
He says, if you can't walk in and say, I have people, they'll be here tomorrow morning, I'll be out of here in 3 weeks, and be out in 3 weeks, to have the place look nice, he goes, you're just an amateur. And you know what? I mean, yeah. He's right. I mean, you really don't see a lot of people.
That's true.
I mean, because otherwise, it's not so much the cost of it. It's the willingness to schedule and guarantee and the quality. Right? I mean, you can't really.
True.
So.
Yeah. Well, you know, some people who are just starting, and, you know, it's maybe them and one or two people, or they're handy themselves and their family's doing it. So you have people, which real estate to me, even though Tom and I argue about this all the time, is still one of the great ways to accumulate wealth. For the average person who to start their lives, especially you're an immigrant, you're new, or you're just looking to do something else, and you have skill. If you have skill and talent, you could do it yourself. You know, it might take them a little longer, but at least you could get in on the ground floor. And that's why I hate to see the rise of these big companies that are coming in and pushing the little mom and pop people out, not allowing them to get, you know, that foothold. So I think we do have to be aware of companies that come in and buy 100 or 200 homes that cut out that whole market for the average person.
Well, a couple of guys we knew from the trading floor that remodeled like six homes and couldn't get a loan for the seventh. But yet if you're big, you can get a loan for anything you want. So I'd give us a shameless plug. How do people find you? They want to actually somebody really help them out. How's that for a plug?
You're looking to buy or sell a house? If I'd love if you give me a call. My telephone number is 708-846-6494. 846-6494, or just shoot me an email at AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com.
What if I wanted to buy, like, 70 acres in the city, like Lincoln Yards? Would I call you?
Oh, yeah. In the next 5 minutes, that'd be great.
Well, thank you very much. S&P Futures now down 950. NASDAQ Futures down 39 and a quarter, so we're leaking here. Come back with Mr. David Adelman.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here at our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. It's PTISecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure.
But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as they do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Hello, welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tim Hunter, Mr. Matt Warman aboard. We'll have Mr. David Animal in a second. We'll continue to leak a little bit. S&P down 950, Nasdaq futures down 37.75, the Dow down 79. Big mover in the Dow this morning is Boeing down $5, 375. Big up, well, United Health is giving a little bit of a dead cat bounce here, up $1.25. Halliburton had beat on earnings up top and bottom line is up 97 cents, 32.10, so that's helping out the XLE a little bit. It's up 64 cents. Market we said was never was going anywhere. It actually is up a little bit this morning. Around the rest of the world, over in Asia, we've got the Nikkei up 17. Call that flat. Shanghai down 55, 1.7%. Hang Seng down 161.5%. So they're moving different directions than the Nikkei. Over in Europe, the DAX up 69.5%. FTSE down 11.2%. CAC around up 17.3%. Again, oil, the big story of the day, up $1.70 now, 266. 2.66%, 65.70, Brent up 2.13, so the spread is even widening. It's up to RBOB gas up to 2.13, that's why you're seeing your prices up over $3 just about everywhere now on gasoline. So as the Trump will end Iran sanction waivers seeking to drive oil exports to zero out of Iran. So Venezuela having trouble, Libya having some trouble. If we dry up Iran, I think these oil prices probably go a lot higher, but we'll ask David that in a second. Maddie, what do you got for us? Trevi Weather Sports.
35 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. A couple of issues to report already this morning. Jane Addams Tollway on the inbound side just before Roselle Road. We have a crash that's now blocking the two right lanes on I-90. So keep that in mind if you're coming in from the northwestern suburbs out near Arlington Heights and in that area. That's a significant issue. No issues on the Edens or Kennedy, although traffic building on the Kennedy. Same for the Eisenhower. Stevenson Expressway out in Bolingbrook, right at Route 53 on the inbound side. There's a crash blocking the left lane. That's causing delays on I-55. Down south on I-80, westbound at Ridgeland Avenue, there is a crash as well. No issues on I-57 or the Bishop Ford. We do have a stalled vehicle on the Dan Ryan Express lanes northbound just before 35th Street. That's blocking the left express lane. So expect some delays as crews get that disabled vehicle off the road. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, sunshine early, then clouds roll in this afternoon. Could see some storms for the evening commute home, or certainly later on this evening. We'll reach a very pleasant high of 78, but rain coming later on tonight. Right now it is mostly clear and 59 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunshine with a high of 87 today. Right now it's clear and 64. In sports, Cubs have won 7 out of 9. They took 2 of 3 from the Diamondbacks at home over the weekend, winning yesterday 2-1 on a David Bodie walk-off RBI single. Cubs are back to 500 at 10-10. They're off tonight. They'll host the Dodgers at Wrigley tomorrow night. White Sox lost 2 of 3 over the weekend in Detroit, falling to the Tigers 4-3. Sox are 5-5 in their last 10. They're at Baltimore tonight. That's a 6 o'clock Chicago time first pitch. Diamondbacks are off, or excuse me, they are back in action tonight as they travel to Pittsburgh. Chief.
The I'm just doing a little addition. As Jethro would say, I'm doing a couple of gazintas here. David, how are you?
I'm fine.
The for those of you who were crying a river for Boeing in their 737 MAX, these guys just got to get a load of this. They just got a contract. This is how when you get your nose up behind the government, this kind of stuff happens. Boeing has just won a $14,314,300,000. Oh, how you rounded it? Get a load of.
I like that last $300,000 they got.
Matty, explain to me as a guy who's hanging around the internet and knows all the words and everything. Indefinite delivery, indefinite quantity contract for the modification, modernization, engineering, sustainment and test of the B-1, B-52 weapons systems.
Was that an indefinite term as well?
Sounds like it.
Because that would be insane.
You know how many of these bombers are out there? The two of them are B-1s and B-52s?
I don't. David, Mike.
133. It's $107 million a plane for rehab. Wow.
So they're not making any more of these. It's rehabbing the existing fleet.
Every B-52 was born long before Matt Weber was a gleam in Daddy's eye.
Right.
They were built in the 50s.
So this contract is not to make more of that same type of plane, obviously. They're going to spend $14 billion and is however long it takes to rehab them all.
And the B-1s as well. You know, the B-1s are the swing wing jabs you see at the show.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, not even some of these things are. I bet they won't even get off the ground. I mean, they're new engines. I mean, what are we talking about? Good Lord! Anyway, that's the deal. So, if you're in, you're in. If you're out, you're just out. I guess, David. I think we're just out. So, what do you make of this, Bud? We've got.
Well, over the weekend, I don't think the news is very good. I mean, you know, with Democrats pressing on, you know, after the Mueller report and China somewhat backing off from some of their easing tendencies to support their economy, and this, as you mentioned, the waiver of, on Iranian oil and the like, and, you know, it's just pressure's on, and technically the markets needed a setback, and maybe this is the start of at least a little something, 2, 3, 4, 5%.
What, a lot of the, I mean, as my, the fellow I had for history and English freshman year in high school, Brother Copper, said, whenever you have a law or a policy, it implies enforcement. Okay, so what exactly is going to be the enforcement that we're implying to our allies if we catch him with a barrel of Iranian oil?
No idea. Sanctions, tariffs on other goods. I have no, you know, this is a very unpredictable administration, and it's only a guess.
It would seem like we would wish we were long oil on Thursday, and we'd want to stay long. But you can't really trade these guys like that. I mean, it could change tomorrow.
Right.
I'd say I wish I was long on Thursday. I'd be selling it right now, taking my profit and running.
Never hurts to take a profit.
No, it's I'm still, you know, who are non-believers are the people that own the stock.
Right.
Because the XLE continues to drag. I don't know if I mentioned to you, but there was big time option activity in the XLP last week. Do you? I never traded that. Do you like that one vis-a-vis the XLE or not?
Not really. It doesn't have the beta for sure.
Okay, is it mostly oil services, right?
Right.
Now, does that mean what?
And that segment has trailed even on the Iranian crude.
It's worse than the XLE. Probably is. But it's
yeah, for sure.
Well, maybe that's why I don't. So it's like the believers are. One interpretation, of course, there's a million interpretations of the market. One interpretation would be that even though oil itself might spike, this is not a reason to own an oil company stock for 5 years.
Well, it's, I mean, you know, I don't know the detailed fundamentals, but, you know, I know that there's pipeline issues, and you have it where you don't want it, and you don't have it where you need it. And, you know, until Halliburton's, you know, earnings today, which surprised, I mean, Schlumberger's been, you know, dragging many Kinder Morgan. I mean, until recently with a bunch of buybacks, it's been a drag. So the oil services company, even with, you know, crude having a very, very stout rally from the 40s to the mid-60s, you know, perhaps going to 70, you know, have lagged big time.
Now, the question is, will they continue to lag, or will all of a sudden somebody go, wow, these are cheap, and they catch up? I don't think they're going to catch up, even though I own them, which is not so good, actually.
Anything can turn at any time. Portfolio and sector switching has been a mark of this market for several years now. It could, but as far as, you know, low valuations and the like, that's existed for many, many, many quarters, and it hasn't really helped them.
No, I just, again, this and 40 cents, if you can find a payphone, get you a phone call. I mean, my view on the oil is that the in the short run, with these countries offline, when I say offline, Venezuela, of course, who knows when they'll get their act together, if ever. Well, I haven't heard much about those guys lately. They were in the news every day, and now they aren't. It doesn't mean that bad stuff isn't still happening. It just means we've got other stuff we're fighting about.
I see headlines. I mean, you know, we're trying to round up, you know, European support and whatever for the, you know, against the former president, or I don't know if he's current or not, because that's a day-to-day thing, but, you know, we're trying to get everyone to recognize the alternative president, let's term it that way.
Well, I'm saying this weekend, with all the Mueller report, you got to look for it.
Right.
Well, but I guess what I'm saying is my view would be, if you were to ask me, short-term, Libya's got some issues. We're obviously doing something that Iran, how effective it'll be, God only knows. But we're going to do something. And so I wouldn't be a bit surprised that oil is $70 a barrel.
Right.
One of these days. But I also think that because OPEC in the last few months has basically shown themselves to be a eunuch, they're not like they used to be, and we have people producing oil all over the world. There's 21 countries that are exporting oil. That my long,
and I think the X factor is Russia. Because
yeah.
Sometimes they seem to be, you know, in cahoots with Saudi Arabia, and oh, we're going to cut back to force the price up, and then all of a sudden the data shows that they're exporting way more than what they had talked about. So who knows?
I mean, if you were to ask me if oil is going to be $70 5 years from now, I mean, my answer would be no. I think it's pushed there by current near-term politics, and I really do think the world price is probably 45 to 55.
Well, and I think when you start, you know, seeing Audi coming with, you know, electric, you know, SUVs, and Volvo saying in 2 years everything in their line is going to be electrified, and even something like Mercedes, a luxury line, saying, you know, in 2 years we're going to have 20 models that are going to be all electric or whatever, BMW, as well as, you know, Chevrolet, of course,
yeah.
Ford, you know, Nissan, you know, Toyota. I mean, you know, that's a nonstop, you know, turn of events that, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, that 5 years from now 80% of the vehicles are going to be, you know, at least hybrid, if not, you know, electrical, all electric. It's going that way, and eventually that mega trend, what will be a mega trend, is going to have to put some downward prices on oil.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you were in the, imagine us, the three of us in the boardroom of Exxon, if somebody came in with a big capital project and said, I want to borrow, you know, $4 billion to dig all these wells, and by the way, the break-even price of the oil from out of these wells better be above $65 or $70, we're not going to make any money, I'm going to say we shelved that project. I would invest in that, would you?
No, I agree totally.
I mean, it better be below 30. You know, I'm not, because we want to make a profit, right? I mean, if oil goes back to 45 or 40, I think you want to still make money. I mean,
and that's the other unknown with, you know, these, you know, like Chevron, you know, buying Anadarko, and supposedly Apache's out there, and Pioneer and whatever. You don't know if the industry consolidates and a lot of the majors suck up a lot of these smaller companies as well as the oil service companies, what the real cost getting out of the Permian Basin is going to be. It may be, and I'm just picking a number, I don't know this at all, but it might be in 4 or 5 years, and maybe 25 is break even.
Well, our guys,
whereas today it might be in the 40s.
I'm going to say that from our buddy Shannon, used to be on the show before he got a job that they won't let him. Was my oil guy. Anyway, we had an adult beverage a couple of weeks ago, and a couple of his buddies are even more oil guys than him, and they go to these conventions and all this stuff. They were telling me, where oil here was, where are we now? We're pushing 70, but it was like 58 or something, David. They were saying that the spot price in the Permian, that they've had all kinds of problems getting. If ever there ought to be a pipeline, it should be the Permian, because they really don't have one.
Right.
And they were saying that the basis between the Permian oil, they were getting like $25 at the wellhead.
Even
was like less than half, because you got to truck. I don't. You said some they truck it to the railhead and some they truck it all the way to the refineries in Louisiana. I mean, that's about as inefficient as you can get.
Right.
As to why there's not a pipeline, I don't know. Now, either going up to Oklahoma or going down to wherever you can connect in, but I mean, you're talking about, you know, massive, as they call, basis risk. I mean, whenever you're looking at commodities and people, you know, I'm not saying anybody's ignorant, they aren't, but if you ignorantly look at the money or at the price and you say, wow, you know, this is where we ought to be. If you have, if David and I and Matt, imagine us being farmers. If we had a
no,
imagine us having. But Matt, you grew up in Iowa. You could be a farmer. You know more about this than I do. You know the tasseling. I didn't even know there was such a thing.
I did do that when I was 14 for 2 weeks, and I'll never do that again. Oh my God!
So say for instance,
you'd rather do softball.
Yeah,
that was brutal.
So say for instance, we had a farm in, you know, DeKalb County, and we're doing all this corn. Now, and we'll look at it, and we go, gee, the price of corn, what is the price of corn these days, David? What, 3.25 or something?
$3.50. Front month.
So you look at it.
$3.56.5.
So you look at your
corn.
But
again, there's basis, so you don't know, you know, in the Delta, what the basis is. And being frank, I don't know that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So we look out on Matt's farm, and we see all this corn that he just harvested, and we got a big, huge bin of it, and we go, that's $3.50. No, it's not. I mean, right there, it's worth nothing. I mean, we got to get it someplace, right? So if we're 2 miles from the river and we can truck it over there and drop it on a barge, I'm going to say the price is going to be $2.75, because now we have to go through how many different locks and dams to get to New Orleans, and I'll say the price in New Orleans is probably $3.50, not on Matt's farm. So same way with oil. I mean, the oil pouring into the refinery is worth $65 a barrel. The oil in your shoddy looking sun-baked spot out in the Permian is not worth $65 a barrel. It might be worth $35, because how are you going to get it there? So, I mean, you do have to be careful. And that's why the soybean farmers in Minnesota got nailed, because they were set up to move to China, because the railroads there basically go west. They're better to Chicago. Chicago doesn't want any soybeans. We got enough. So if you're going to export them, you had to go the other way, and in containers, not even really in covered hoppers, because what do you do with a covered hopper in Seattle? You want a container to put it on a ship. So those guys got absolutely big. What were they down to, David? Like 150 or some incredible number?
Yeah.
Because the Chinese didn't want them, or the tariffs were high and we weren't sent, whatever the story was. So you could get buried by this basis stuff. So just because you see oil at 65 doesn't mean if you happen to have a well someplace that your oil's worth 65. You got to find a way to get it to someplace. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean it's storage, it's insurance, it's transportation. You know, there's probably, you know, other things that work into the basis. You mentioned corn. There, it's old crop, what you got around, to anticipation of new crop. Just as a an offshoot example. May corn is sitting at 356 and a half. December's 384 and a half. I mean, there is cost to carry, but that's an old crop, new crop. So they take into a, for the December contract, they start taking into account, you know, planting intentions and acreage set asides and this and that and the other. So it's a different thing. Whereas a crude oil, you know, you're, it's not a crop. So pretty much, you know, depending on grade, you know, a light crude is a light crude now in December.
Well, the fact that the December is higher than the current spot leads you to believe that people anticipate some sort of resolution of the trade situation by December.
Right.
Now, whether that's an accurate assessment or not, time will tell, because if you'd have said it was going to be done by April, you'd be wrong. Right?
Right.
But now I'm going to say that I think that assessment is probably correct. But now if it's June, July, August, and it still hasn't happened, I'm not so sure I want to pay $3
exactly
for December.
And there is something to say that that you know, depending on, you know, again, interest rates, storage costs, insurance, all that stuff, that somebody, you know, if it grades out, you know, and it's not, you know, been sitting in the bin for 3 years, that you couldn't take old crop and store it and deliver it against new crop. You know, it's possible.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, for a long time, people, for 2 or 3 years, I'm going to say you wanted to be in the bin building business. Because what was the 1 year, David, where I'm going to say corn was, I'll pick numbers, was $4, and the next year was like $6 or $7, and everybody's all pissed off that they sold their stuff the year before.
Right.
And then they said, okay, we're going to, now, anytime now that it's low priced, we're just going to build these huge silos on our farm, and we're going to store it, and then we're going to outweigh them, and the next year when it goes up, we're going to say, here, I got some, and sell it to them. And then the next year, that sort of happened, and people put it in the bin, didn't sell it, then the next year was, like, way lower. We had nothing but corn, right? But, I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, these are
always right bullish at the top and most bearish at the bottom.
Well, yeah. Anyway, so what do you make of this? I mean, we're down 10.75. You're right, the news was not good. We got earnings all over the place this week. This is probably the biggest week of earnings, I would say.
This and next week. I forget exactly, but it's something over 30% of the S&P 500 report in the next 2 weeks.
Right. Okay, so, but I mean, we've actually, we've been, knock on wood, the few we've done so far, the few earnings plays, have been pretty good. So
yes, except, and I think my own feeling is that earnings will not be great this quarter, for first quarter, but they may not be quite as bad as, you know, the estimates came from, you know, 12-13% to 5 to, you know, minus 2 or 3. And there was a report this morning with only 77 out of the 503 or 504 S&P 500 stocks out. So you can't say. But if all the earnings came out, the rest of them, the other 425 or whatever, came out as expected, that earnings would be down 1.7%. So that's not a good performance, but it may not be quite as bad as what the, you know, drag down estimates would lead you to believe.
I would agree. What's your feel? A month ago, everybody thought the economy was slowing somewhat worldwide. I mean, even the Fed was saying that, the Atlanta Fed was saying it. Everybody was predicting. I mean, what's her name? The World Bank lady, what's the French
girl? Yeah, I know what you mean. The French lady.
Lecaire or something. Anyway, she was saying that worldwide everything was kind of slowing. Is it just a little bit of a business cycle blip, or is it more than that, you think, David?
I think it's more than that. I think Germany really is kind of boxed in, you know, where they are, and that's, you know, the leading economy in Europe. And, I mean, China, if we believe their figures, which, you know, we're always skeptical about those, if nothing else, you know, the rate of growth has steadied, but to even get a steady figure, if we believe it, they've had to do all kinds of, you know, things as far as bank reserves and, you know, credit and the like to stimulate. So, and as I said, over the weekend there were signs that they may back off some of that, you know, easiness. So, Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a problem where we're going to go into a recession for two quarters. You know, that I don't think. But, you know, you're one to always point out, you know, the effect of inflation on, you know, GDP. And if we subtracted that out, we may be very, very low growth.
I would say if there's this guest we have on a couple times a week, this David Andelman dude, that if you actually put two of his statements together, your view of what the inflation really is, and you buck it up against the GDP growth, you, without even saying so, have never had us out of a recession.
You know, and you know what? I'm not the wisest guy on the block, but I'm not the only kid on the block. They had, you know, a couple members from Fast Money on this morning, and they said, we take a very, quote-unquote, we take a very dim view of how the CPI and PPI figures are established, and we believe that the inflation is far higher than what they're saying.
Right, which is, what I'm saying is, that's a very dangerous statement if your growth is 2%.
Right.
Just saying.
No, I get it. I get what you're saying.
David, thank you very much, buddy. Talk to you later in the week. S&P futures are down 11. NASDAQ futures down 41.50 is the lowest of the morning. Hopefully we don't go too much lower. We'll be back tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks.
Hey, guys.
What's up, G?
Want to go to Tchotchke's? Get some coffee?
Oh, it's a little early.
I got to get out of here. I think I'm going to lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.